Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Attachments podcast. My name is Jessica Da Silva, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and an attachment coach, helping adults end their unhealthy dating patterns and create stronger, secure relationships. Attachment theory gives us insight into how we currently experience love through understanding our earlier attachment dynamics. I created this podcast as a safe space to share stories and insights on different aspects of attachment so that you can better understand how this manifests in your own life. My only request is that you listen with an open heart and an open mind. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hello there, and welcome to today's podcast episode where I will be sharing a little bit about my experience with being in a somewhat of a long distance relationship for the last 6 years. And I say somewhat of a long distance relationship because my partner travels a lot for work. So he'll be gone for sometimes, 3 months at a time. Miles, my partner, is a rope access technician. So he'll work on different infrastructures and buildings that need improvement all around the world. And it can be a very lengthy and stressful process. So I'll visit him, when I can. And as of right now, currently in Washington, D.C., after not seeing him for almost 2 months. So, it does come with its perks, but also comes with many, many challenges. Okay. And I've gotten a lot of questions on, how do you guys make your relationship work? So I wanted to give you a very transparent look into the challenges that come up with this unique type of relationship and how we navigate the challenges that come with the distance. And I have to say, I don't think that this relationship situation would have worked when I was really operating from an insecure attachment style, because my insecurities would be super heightened and just probably unmanageable, which would obviously affect the relationship. But if you've been actively working on becoming more secure, you're much more able to control, right, your emotional experiences and navigate the insecurities that will surface from time to time. So as you guys know, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I have struggled with a fearful, avoidant attachment style, definitely leaning more anxious attachment for most of my life. My partner is secure, definitely leaning more dismissive avoidant. And when we met 6 years ago, I had been single for 2 years, just kind of focusing on myself. I had completed my master's program in marriage and family therapy. I was, healing from the toxic relationships that I experienced in my 20s. And Miles kind of came around at the perfect time. We met on a dating app called Mindful Meet in Los Angeles, which I highly suggest trying out if you're in the dating scene right now. And I had swiped right on him. However, I didn't get to his message until 5 months, I think, after he sent it to me. I think he had sent me a follow-up message, which is maybe why I saw it. But to be totally honest, his original photo was not really my style, which is why I didn't really pay much attention afterwards. Mind you, this profile photo was him in a tuxedo, which I have never seen him wear a tuxedo in the 6 years we've been together. So it was honestly such a misrepresentation of who he actually is. And when I saw his new profile photo, 5 months later, when I went through my messages, he was on a tiny little fishing boat in Brazil. He was smiling with his beautiful smile and just seemed like he was just much more in his element, which I naturally found really attractive. And it just felt more genuine, right? When someone's in their element, it just feels more genuine. And probably helped, that I'm also Brazilian, so that familiarity was really appealing. But needless to say, we cannot judge a book by its cover, because clearly so many people are misrepresented in the online space. So anywho, long story short, when we met, he told me about the nature of his work, right? That it consisted of a lot of travel, that he had a truck camper in which he traveled in from one location to another. And for some reason, I found the camper nomad lifestyle really, really appealing, probably because of all of the freedom that it enables. So I knew going into this that his values highly revolved around freedom and autonomy, okay, which were values that I was beginning to understand that I had. What I mean by this is that, you know, the more secure that I became, the more I got to really know myself outside of codependency, right? Outside of relationships, highly dependent relationships. And I not only began to feel comfortable with freedom, but I also discovered how much I loved and needed freedom. So this was actually the first relationship where I began to explore, you know, like what freedom and autonomy looks like within a relationship, which is why I always post about it on Instagram. And, you know, and experiencing what this freedom looks like, right, without feeling threatened by it. And I just thought it was really great. I thought, like, how cool is this, right? I can be in a relationship, I can be in a, you know, trusting relationship, yet still have my autonomy, yet still have my freedom. Like, this feels awesome. And at the time, I was living in my own apartment in Los Angeles. I was working as a mental health therapist for a nonprofit agency in the downtown area. You know, I traveled as much as I could. I hung out with my friends. I spent time doing my hobbies. And when Miles was back in town, we take his camper to, you know, just really cool locations. So it was a great setup. And, you know, the time that we did spend together, it was, you know, full of passion and adventure and novelty and connection, and it really met a lot of the needs that I had. And just some context, his parents live in Los Angeles as well, so it was, you know, kind of his home base anyways, which helped the situation. But what I found really appealing about him is that he had really big goals. Okay, so he's a hard worker, he's very ambitious, he had a clear plan for his future. You know, he really values the freedom and creating that for himself. And when he began to include me in those plans, because I never really had someone, well, that's not true. I did. I had my ex-husband actually was really, really wonderful. He would include me, and I felt very cared for and loved. But relationships after that, it felt very uncertain. It just didn't really feel as though I was a big priority in their life, which obviously led me to feel very anxious and very disturbed in those relationships. But with Miles, he started to really include me in those plans. And obviously my anxious little heart really loved that. And then I got on board with his dream and have been working towards pursuing, you know, our shared dream for the last 6 years. And in that process, we moved to Colorado. You know, we bought an airplane hangar, which is this metal dome that was originally a wood shop, and we've been converting it into our home, which it's almost done, you guys. If you've been following the podcast, you know how stressful this project has been for us and on our relationship. We are also in the process of building our expedition vehicle, which has been Miles's big life dream. So this journey has been a very long one with many fluctuating emotions and challenges, many times where I just wanted to quit and bail out, right? My fearful avoidance, like, peace out, I'm gone. But we're not doing that anymore, right? We're gonna work it through, especially if it's, you know, it's serving us and we're both committed. So, you know, we're trying to make it work. We're gonna make it work. And I don't think that I could have stayed in this relationship this long with the distance, especially, right? If we didn't have an end goal. So for you, maybe the goal, if you're in a long distance relationship, maybe the goal is moving in together. Maybe it's building a family. Maybe it's getting married. Maybe it's, you know, creating plans to travel. Maybe it's just building a life together in whatever way that you desire. Having a shared goal is the light at the end of the tunnel. And although the distance, right, may have been more doable and even more enjoyable in the beginning, it started to take a toll on us, especially me, a few years into the relationship. So with understanding attachment styles, We know that anxiety can increase as the relationship progresses, not only because, you know, when we feel more invested in it, we're afraid we have more to lose, but also because our anxiety naturally increases when our relationship needs aren't getting met. All right, so I'm going to say that one more time. Our anxiety naturally increases when our needs aren't getting met. So this goes for all attachment styles. It's just that anxious, dismissive, avoidant, and fearful avoidants experience this anxiety more frequently and intensely than secure attachments. And when we're in a long distance relationship, you know, many of our needs for connection, you know, closeness, togetherness, quality time, physical intimacy, for example, naturally aren't getting met. So of course, our anxiety is going to increase. And as John Bowlby, the pioneer of attachment theory, puts it, we are only as needy as our unmet needs. So imperfect, fearful, avoidant slash anxious attachment fashion, I would find myself highly activated at times, you know, using protest behaviors to meet my needs and just operating in ways that were somewhat harmful to the relationship because so many of my needs were going unmet. And the more committed we became, right, the more expectations I had. I would, you know, again, being totally transparent with you guys, because I know a lot of you can relate to this. I would get jealous. I would become very suspicious. I was highly critical. I would become passive aggressive, like hold on to things and not express it. And obviously it being expressed in different ways, which he always knew. I would think of all types of, you know, just horrible things and just assume that he was being deceiving at times. And this would mostly happen again when we were apart for a while, or just kind of feeling disconnected in whatever way. I started to even get resentful and doubtful about the relationship entirely. And I knew this was all a byproduct of having so many important unmet needs. Because obviously there was never really any evidence that he was indeed this careless person that I was envisioning in my mind, or this horrible person that I was envisioning in my mind. Right? He was actually very kind and consistent and reassuring and supportive and communicative. He barely drinks. He never goes out. So I was looking for things in the relationship to reinforce these distorted narratives that only surfaced when I felt disconnected from him. I even went into a depression for a while. So if you, you know, listen to my podcast episodes back in March around that time, you can probably hear, you know, this depression in my language or my tone of voice or just what I'm talking about. I tried not to obviously have it come through in my work, but we're human, right? We're only human. But I was, you know, I was in a really dark place from all the doubt and the uncertainty, and I was experiencing that I was experiencing in my relationship due to all of the distance in the relationship. Luckily, Miles was patient and understanding. He listened as I expressed all of my worry, all of my fears. He reassured me often, you know, as much as I needed, which I needed a lot of reassurance at that time, or, you know, when we have the distance, that he loved me, right? And that he was committed and that things would get better. And because Miles leans more avoidant, the distance has been more manageable for him. And I don't want to say it's been easier, because all attachment styles experience anxiety. They just cope with it differently. But as someone leaning more avoidant, he is able to deactivate his attachment system when emotionally distressed. Attachment science tells us that when we deactivate, which avoidants often do, they are able to cut off from their emotional experiences through, you know, distractions, through focusing on work or hobbies or the task at hand. They're able to minimize or shut down their emotions. They can dissociate or just use escapism. You know, they prioritize logical reasoning over emotional responses. So they can stay very, very grounded and focused. Whereas anxious attachments, you know, or fearful avoidance, they activate. So when they feel relationship anxiety, their attachment system activates, which looks more like thinking about the relationship, right? Worrying about their partner, catastrophizing, seeking reassurance as much as they can, seeking connection as much as possible to alleviate that distress. So when I get very emotional and perhaps catastrophize or focus on the negative, which definitely happens, especially in those vulnerable moments of disconnection, he's just like, you know, Jess, we just need to focus and we need to get through this together. So that's just, that's how most of our conflicts kind of have ended up. So if we don't understand, right, these mechanisms that come up with our attachment style, it's easy for us to assume worst case scenarios, such as, you know, like they just don't care about me. They just don't love me because they're not acting the way I do. They don't, you know, they're not as dramatic as I am. They're not expressing themselves the way that I am. It must mean that they don't love me. It must mean that they don't care about me. And I found that we were both engaging in these ways, right? Me more activated and him more deactivated. And though we may have, you know, tools to manage these internal experiences, we're still human and we're still going to get affected by it from time to time, especially those moments of disconnection. So as years go by, you know, it's been harder. It's been harder to manage the distance for me personally because we go from connected to disconnected so often, and it can begin to take a real toll on our mental health. And I know it has been for me, and I wonder if it's been for you too, in terms of just that disconnection, connection to disconnection, connection to disconnection. Which is why Miles, thankfully, he started a business in our hometown. And so despite having to take some work trips here and there for rope access, because it does pay really well, he's been putting more energy into staying home and growing his business there. So it's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind. But the only reason why it's been able to work and why I still hold on despite having to sacrifice some of my major, major needs is because we have a shared goal, right? We're actively working towards it. There's clear progress, even though it might be slow progress. We communicate our needs, we communicate our fears, and we're both highly committed to making our relationship work. But I have to say that in order to make a long distance relationship work or any anxious avoidant relationship dynamic work, both people have to have a full life, meaning they have to be able to meet their own needs in different ways. It will not work if one person is highly dependent on the other to meet all of their needs. First of all, because no one person can meet all of our needs. And second of all, if you're in a relationship with someone who has avoidant tendencies, for example, they're going to gravitate towards autonomy and independence. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just different. Had I not been doing the work prior to the relationship to live on my own, pursue my goals, you know, have my financial independence, travel on my own, essentially just establish a relationship with myself, this relationship dynamic would not work because my expectations for him would be too much for him to handle. We just wouldn't be compatible. Also, you don't need to be single to learn how to become more autonomous or to develop that relationship with yourself. You can cultivate this by experimenting with new hobbies or old hobbies, right? Finding activities that bring you joy. I love my core power yoga classes. I will go as much as I can, sometimes 5 times a week, or just taking long walks, listening to podcasts or Audible books, developing your passions. Obviously, I love what I do and I spend a lot of time on what I do. And so that really fulfills me, right? Spending time with friends, taking mini trips or road trips alone or with a friend. So just make sure that you are nourishing yourself and really doing things that really, really fulfill you, because that is going to take a lot of your focus and a lot of your energy, which is good. And if you are someone that needs or values a lot of togetherness and gets a lot of fulfillment through relationships in general, which is totally okay, right? That's also a need that is understandable and is valid, then perhaps someone with an avoidant attachment or someone leaning avoidant attachment style, or just, you know, someone who values a lot of freedom and autonomy first and foremost, is not a good match for you. And maybe someone who is secure, leaning more anxious, for example, right? An anxious attachment who's, you know, really conscious and making the effort to become more securely attached would be a better match, as they tend to value and need closeness and togetherness more consistently and intensely. Remember that we all fall on a spectrum. So even someone who's secure is going to lean a little bit more towards, you know, either anxious attachment, the fearful avoidant attachment, or dismissive avoidant attachment. No one is 100% secure. So just kind of knowing, you know, what it is that you need is really important, because that's going to help you find someone that's compatible with your needs. So this isn't to say that anxious and avoidance can't work. They most definitely can. But know that it requires a lot of mutual acceptance, understanding, communication, and compromise, as these two styles have very different ways of experiencing themselves and experiencing love. I have to personally communicate my needs often with Miles, and it's something I've had to accept about our dynamic, right? He's not gonna pick up on a lot of things that I am needing or that I'm anticipating. So I have just accepted that I have to communicate my needs more often, more frequently. It's not good or bad, it's just the reality. He brings so many positive things into our relationship and supports me in so many ways, but he lacks in many ways too. And I'm sure he probably feels the same about me. And as individuals, you know, with a history of having an insecure attachment style, there's so much acceptance work we have to do, you know, within our relationships to manage that ambivalence and the worry and the, you know, anxiety that we often feel. It's also important for us to create realistic expectations for ourselves, for our partner, and the relationship, given our unique circumstances and differences. So all in all relationships require understanding, acceptance, sacrifice from time to time, right? Meeting in the middle. You guys, we are two completely different humans coexisting. To think that we're not going to sacrifice, to think that we're not going to compromise, doesn't make sense. To coexist with another human, we're going to have to meet in the middle, okay? So that's inevitable. Effort, communication, and trust. But when you're in a long distance relationship or in, you know, an anxious avoidant dynamic, not only are these things even more essential to keep in mind and to practice, but it also requires us to be more self-sufficient. Okay, so again, this is for long distance and anxious avoidant dynamics. It does require us to be more self-sufficient. It does require us to be more independent, and to be able to rely on ourselves and our support system to meet our needs, because we're still going to have needs. Humans are needs driven. So we're still going to have those needs. And if those needs go unmet, we naturally feel anxious. So we have to create a community, right, with resources and things to do and people to fulfill those needs in order to feel satisfied, or else we're going to have a really, really, really hard time within the long distance relationship or in that anxious avoidant dynamic. Right. So, you know, thinking about, you know, do you guys have shared plans or goals when you're thinking about your relationship? Do you guys have shared plans or goals? Is there promise and effort for a shared future? Are you able to be transparent and hold space for each other during, you know, difficult times? Do you both support each other and make a mutual effort in the relationship? Of course, sacrifice will come with the distance, but is there light at the end of the tunnel, right? We can't sacrifice our needs forever, because that becomes neglectful at some point. So these are all things to think about and contemplate within your own relationship. Last thing that's really important that I would like to suggest is to not compare your relationship to others. We tend to do this most when we're feeling activated or deactivated and just vulnerable, okay? So when we're unhappy, right, during these unhappy moments when our needs aren't getting met, what we tend to do is we look outside of our relationship for validation, right? To validate these feelings and these experiences that we're going through. And that can be really destructive and unhelpful sometimes because your circumstances are very different, right, than others. And your relationship is very different in general. So just be mindful of when you're feeling vulnerable, when you're feeling disconnected, and when you tend to go on social media, for example, or read articles about, you know, different relationships, because you're just going to be much more susceptible to taking in that information and believing it to be totally true when really you're in a very vulnerable place. So anyways, needless to say, just don't compare yourself in general to other relationships. But when you're feeling very vulnerable, definitely try to stay away from that. So I hope this personal share was helpful. I always enjoy listening to people's stories because it's just easier to relate to sometimes. I feel like I learn a lot more when I'm able to relate to people's, you know, personal shares. And if you are looking to better understand yourself, to better understand your partner and how to navigate your relationship in a healthy and secure way, you can learn more about the one-on-one attachment coaching with me or learn about the My Secure Self e-course via the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you enjoyed it, please rate it or leave a comment. Hearing your feedback just motivates me to create more content for you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I will catch you on the next episode.